This is Twit.
All right, one thing that this whole pandemic that we're in the midst of right now has proven to many people, watching world premiere films in the comfort of your living room is a viable alternative to actually taking a trip to the local movie theater. Now, obviously, it's not the same experience, but many films that were intended to have theatrical releases are instead releasing direct to home for a premium, and they're doing pretty well in the process. So what is the movie theater experience, industry even? What is it going to look like when things return to whatever, you know, the normalcy ends up being? Joining us to kind of ponder this future is Eric Ravenscraft, who wrote an article about the future of movie theaters for 1-0. Welcome back, Eric.
Hey, thanks for having me back on, guys.
Yeah, man, it's good to see you again. So let's start with the forces of change that the theater industry is facing right now. I mean, it's really kind of, in some ways, I've seen a lot of people write and talk about the fact that, you know, some things that changes that are happening in the theater industry have been a long time coming. It's just this pandemic and the stay-at-home order and everything has accelerated things. What is it facing right now?
Yes, that's completely dead on. The film industry has kind of been struggling because theaters have, for a very long time, enforced an exclusivity window. When a big movie comes out, it goes to theaters and it stays there for at least like 3 months before it's allowed to move to, you know, rentals on Amazon or a streaming service or whatever. And studios would love to close that gap. Most movies make about 90% of their money in the first month, so it's just 2 months of people being excited about a movie, but they can't buy it online or something. So what the pandemic caused, sort of, is an acceleration of that window to collapse to nothing. There's no theater to go to. So the only option for some studios is to release their movies online in whatever form they can. Universal had a lot of success with Trolls World Tour, where they released it online for $20 a pop, let the whole family watch it at home, and they did fairly well. So there's been kind of an open question of, since we know that studios can make money in the home video market without a movie theater, what is it going to look like when movie theaters open back up? And that's kind of a difficult problem to solve right now, because the only way we know for movie theaters to make money is mainly by selling overpriced concessions. Movie theaters are independent companies. They don't make the content that they are exhibitors for. They don't own the merchandising rights. They don't own anything except popcorn and tickets, and they give most of their ticket money away to studios. So what I discuss in the piece is the possibility of what could happen if movie theaters were actually owned by someone else rather than being an independent organization. So say Disney owned some theaters. They could maybe make more money in a theater by selling Avengers merchandise in the lobby. You know, if you go to see an Avengers movie, it's weird that after two decades of superhero movies, you can't buy a Spider-Man action figure in the lobby. Like, you've never been able to do that. And like, that's money on the table, but movie theaters have no incentive to do that. Separately from that, a lot of tech companies are starting to make their own content, rather. Apple is producing movies. I think they just got the rights to a Tom Hanks movie. Amazon is obviously making a lot of their own movies. Netflix is already clashing with theaters over The Irishman because they want theatrical releases, but they want streaming very quickly after that. So there's sort of an open question about whether or not tech companies would also want to buy theaters. Could Amazon exhibit their own movies in theaters and have a Whole Foods concession stand instead of overpriced popcorn? Maybe you've got overpriced organic peanuts. I'm not sure what you would put in a Whole Foods snack concession stand, but there's the possibility that they could make more money by being owned by a bigger corporation.
Are your thoughts here also kind of circling around the fact that, or the possibility that, some of these big tech companies would then be making movies in and of themselves? Like, I realize Amazon, you know, has their own production wing. Let's say Google or Facebook owns a Facebook cinema. I'm kind of blowing my mind just thinking about that, and you know, realizing I probably wouldn't go there. But I mean, are you saying that they would also get into the content creation business, or it would just be, I mean, hey, we've got a really great place to market some of our other stuff?
Yeah, they already have. Apple, Amazon, and Netflix all make their own content. Google, Facebook, and Microsoft don't, but they also don't have a streaming service. So I think if you're going to have a streaming content service, you need to have some originals. You know, Netflix tried for a long time to be the destination for everyone else's content. They're where you go to watch The Office and Parks and Rec. But eventually, the companies that own that content go, we could make a lot more money by doing this ourselves, or at least we think we can. I don't know how many people are signing up for NBC's Peacock just yet. But at the very least, those companies want to, you know, stop giving a cut to a third party, so they pull their content. Or, you know, in the case of Friends, you know, they could make more money by selling it to someone else for even more hundreds of millions of dollars. So if you're Netflix in that situation, you're going to be a little bit screwed if all you have is someone else's content. So you need a Stranger Things, you need Altered Carbon. In Amazon's case, you need, I know they have big shows that are, I don't watch a lot of Amazon. Man in the High Castle. There we go. Man in the High Castle. But you need something that's your own that gets people in. And then you can fill in the gaps with content you buy from someone else. So Apple, Amazon, and Netflix have their own streaming service, which means they have to make their own content. You can't do one without the other. The only reason Google and Facebook aren't making their own content yet is because they aren't making their own streaming service yet. But you do one, you got to do the other.
Yeah, and you could see a world where they get into that too. You know, you could totally see that happening. Now, Amazon, you wrote in your piece, Amazon was reportedly interested in an acquisition of the AMC theater chain. I realize this is kind of still in the rumor world, but has there been any read on what Amazon might have envisioned in there? Exactly what you're talking about, like taking some of their online properties and giving it a theater in which for it to play, so it gives them some sort of access to like Oscar territory or something like that.
Yeah, I do want to be clear, like that is a rumor, and there's some other outlets that are going, we're not so sure about that. So okay, a lot of this is speculation. It's hard for us to, you know, get in the mind of Amazon. But if we like try to imagine what they would do, first off, if a movie wants to get win an Oscar, at the very least, it has to exhibit in, I believe, Los Angeles County for 1 week in a for-profit theater. You can't just do a nonprofit. They loosened that rule this year for obvious reasons, but generally speaking, it has to be in a theater. Netflix actually is in the process of trying to buy the Egyptian Theater, which is in that county, which would allow them to exhibit a movie in their own theater and automatically qualify for the Oscars unless they change those rules. So the first thing you get is awards, accolades, and that can lead to increased attention for your products. The other thing that Amazon could get is access to around, I believe, a little over 1,000 theater locations. Now, I'm going off my memory here, but I believe Whole Foods only has around 500 locations. It might be more than that, but even if not, there's 1,000 new places that if Amazon buys AMC, they've got new retail locations. They could have, like we said, you know, concession stands in the lobby that sell Amazon products. You could very easily imagine Amazon setting up an Amazon locker. So if you want to pick up a package or something that you ordered from Amazon, I'm going to a movie on Friday. Why don't I have that delivered to the locker, and then on my way out, I just pick it up. That saves Amazon on some shipping, and it saves you a little bit of time, and you don't have to, you know, wait at the door or whatever. And like we said, they can sell more products there. I would imagine Amazon would have an easier time cutting retail deals with the studios. So Disney wants to sell Spider-Man merchandise. Amazon's got a warehouse full of Spider-Man merchandise nearby. Why not cut a deal with Disney to open up a shelf and say, you pay us this much money, you can sell this many Spider-Man toys to kids on the way outside the movie theater. And I think on top of that, most people who go to movie theaters know that you're buying two things. You're buying a ticket and you're buying snacks that are way overpriced. And that drives people away. One of the chief complaints you hear is that I don't want to go out to see a movie that costs $100 once you account for snacks if I can get it for 20 bucks at home. The tickets aren't that much more expensive, but the food is. And your kids aren't going to let you get away with not buying popcorn. But if you say, we're not getting popcorn, but you can have a Spider-Man action figure, at least you feel like you're getting a little bit more for your money. You don't hate, you know, getting it quite as much. And your kids have more fun. You've got something that lasts after you leave the theater. And I'm not a retailer, but I imagine the margins on Spider-Man action figures aren't that much different from the margins on popcorn.
Or heck, even when you're talking about, you know, Amazon owning a movie theater and concessions being, you know, historically very expensive because that's how the theater makes money. If Amazon right. owns it and you follow Amazon's kind of value model that they've applied, that they, you know, was a big part of, you know, their acquisition of Whole Foods and the Prime and all that kind of stuff. And you can kind of envision an Amazon movie theater where, you know, part of the marketing, part of the draw is like the Prime model applied to movie theater food. Yeah, you're used to spending $20-$30 on concessions, but when you come here, you only spend 12 because we're Amazon and we give you that value, you know, and right. they're making the money that way as well.
Right.
Very, very interesting. I could totally see that happening. Now, you mentioned in your piece the 1948 Paramount consent decree, which I'd never really heard of that before. What is it? How might that apply to, like, let's take, for example, an Amazon merger with AMC? How might that apply?
So these are a bit of an obscure legal, it's not even necessarily a law. Basically, in the 1940s, the Department of Justice sued a handful of studios for basically creating a vertically integrated monopoly. The studios owned the theaters. They blocked anyone else from exhibiting their movies. You know, if you went to a Universal theater, you only got to see a Universal movie. The consent decrees were essentially a compromise between the Department of Justice and the studios that said, we think what you're operating is an illegal monopoly. We filed a lawsuit over it, but as a settlement, you agree to follow these specific rules, among which included not owning your own theaters. So studios had to stop owning their own theaters for a while. Now, the legality of this is complicated, and I'm not a lawyer, but the basic gist is that was generally believed to be illegal at the time under the circumstances, and studios agreed to follow those orders. But the companies we're talking about now didn't exist or weren't big players then. Disney wasn't a major studio at the time. Amazon, Netflix, and Apple didn't exist. So there's some question about whether or not they would be allowed to own movie theaters right now, whether it would constitute an illegal monopoly, and if it did, whether or not the Department of Justice would even pursue that. Currently, under the current administration, the Department of Justice is looking at rolling back those consent decrees. They argue that if you were an independent filmmaker in the 40s, your only option for distributing a movie was the theaters that the studios owned. Now you've got a lot more options. You can put it on a streaming service. You can upload it to YouTube yourself. You're not blocked out of the film industry by the studios that own the theaters or could own the theaters. You've got plenty of options, so competition exists. All of that's a lot very speculative right now, and we don't know if the consent decrees are going to get rolled back. And it's even a question of whether or not they, like a tech company, could buy a theater and get away with it right now. But they also sort of have. Netflix is leasing a theater in New York. Amazon or Apple's trying to put movies into movie theaters. You know, there's some edge room here. I think no tech company wants to be the first to go, we're buying up a theater chain, come and get us, Department of Justice. Mm-hmm. But especially when it's up in the air right now. But there is sort of this dam that could break. If the Department of Justice comes out and says consent decrees are no more, I imagine you'd see tech companies and studios be a lot more brazen about owning theaters, or at least exploring the option of how they could make money by owning a theater. But it's very hazy right now.